not going to use the mic. I can speak loud enough.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
What's up, family? It's good to be before you guys tonight. You know, this weekend we just had an incredible retreat. And you know, Amon, I just want to say thank you for sharing your courageous story. You know, you did such an incredible job, and you had me dying laughing as well. But you really shared your story, and it was powerful, and I believe that a lot of people were moved from your convictions and your desire to follow Jesus.
Yes.
So, you know, today is my birthday, like Matt said, and it is it is crazy that I'm preaching on my birthday. I was like, I wonder if Rob set it up that way. But either way, it's a privilege, and I just want to take a second here and just say thank you guys so much. I love you guys deeply, and it's because of your prayers and your example and your faith that, you know, it's because of God's grace and His love and His Bible that I'm here, but it's also because of your prayers, your example, going out on campus, sharing faith is why I'm here. So I just want to say thank you to you guys, and I love you guys deeply, and I'm just so grateful to be here. So tonight we're going to camp out in Acts 17. You can open your Bibles to Acts 17.
All right.
Verses 1 through 15.
Come on, man.
As we continue in our Feed the Way. And then after, we're going to take some time to get into D groups, and we're going to talk more about the retreat and about the lesson, about convictions that we got from the retreat and things that we're learned. We want to make new convictions and things that we have learned from the retreat. So we're going to do that after, and I'll give out instructions later on about that. So we're going to jump right in here. Let's go to God in prayer before we start. Amen?
Amen.
Father God, Lord, thank you so much, Father, that God, you run to us, Father, that you love us so much, God, that you were the one in chains, God, while we were living our lives the way we wanted to live our lives, God, that, God, you cared about us when we weren't even thinking about you, Lord. And Father, I just thank you so much, God, that your love is amazing, God. It's astounding, and we really don't understand it, God. Tonight, God, I just pray that you move Kyrie out of the way, Father, and that you just say what you want to say through your spirit, through your scriptures, God. Let your scriptures speak, and God, I pray that you just move our hearts to be open to the scriptures and change where you are telling us to change and improve where you are telling us to improve, God, so that we can be better men and women for you, Father. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the title of my lesson tonight is Upsetting the World with the Good News. Upsetting the World with the Good News. Sorry about that. Just give me 1 second, guys. Show me some grace.
Sorry. Let's go,
Kyrie! Cool. So, most of us are familiar with this passage. And you know, ever since the fall of human race in Genesis 3, the world has been in sin and rebellion against God the Creator. And we are born into sin, and we continue to live that way unless we are confronted by the gospel message. And we respond humbly to it. So when we first hear the gospel message, it probes our hearts. It convicts us. It brings about conviction. It hurts. But it truly leads to life if we allow the scriptures to humbly lead us, right? And those of us who are disciples know what it feels like to be brought to conviction by our sin. Amen? We know what it feels like to have the gospel bring out the nastiness and the condition of where we really are and the face of Jesus. And it left some of us saying, what shall we do? Like, what must I do, right?
Right.
And that's the gospel message. It demands a response. It demands that we respond to it. And you can either allow it to cut your heart, or you can allow it to harden your heart. You can allow it to change the way that you think and live, or deny its power to do so. Simply put, we will obey or we will reject the message and the word of God. And from that, I only have 2 points tonight. The first point is the world's way, which is rejecting the truth and resisting and doing what we want to do. And the second point is the Berean way, repenting, changing your heart and mind to align with God's word. Amen? So let's pick up here in verse 1. We're going to read all the way from verse 1 to verse 15. So it says, when Paul and his companions passed through Amphipolis and Aliponia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue, and on 3 Sabbath days he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that the Messiah had to suffer and rise from the dead. "This Jesus I'm proclaiming to you is the Messiah," he said. Some of the Jews were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, as did a large number of the God-fearing Greeks and quite a few prominent women. But other Jews were jealous, so they rounded up some bad characters from the marketplace and formed a mob and started a riot in the city. They rushed to Jason's house in search of Paul and Silas in order to bring them out of the crowd. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some other believers before the officials, shouting, "These men who have caused trouble all over the world have now come here. And Jason has welcomed them into his house. They are all defying Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, one called Jesus." When they heard this, the crowd and the city officials were thrown into turmoil. Then they made Jason and the others post bond and let them go. Verse 10, "As soon as it was night, the believers sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. And on arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. And now the Berean Jews, they were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see what if Paul said was true. As a result, many of them believed, and as did also a number of prominent Greek women and Greek men. But when the Jews in Thessalonica learned that Paul was preaching the word of God at Berea, some of them went there too, agitating the crowds and stirring them up. The believers immediately sent Paul to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed at Berea. Those who escorted Paul brought him to Athens and then left with instructions for Silas and Timothy to join him as soon as possible." So Paul, Timothy, and Silas, and the other disciples, they get to Thessalonica, and Paul heads into the Jewish synagogue as it was his custom. That's what he did. Everywhere he went, we see in Acts 13, 14, 15, that Paul went to the Jewish synagogues and he preached the gospel message in the Jewish synagogues. And for 3 weeks, he reasoned, explained, and proved that Jesus was the Messiah and that he had to suffer and rise from the dead. Now, we don't know what passages Paul was preaching from or what Old Testament scriptures he was teaching them from. Maybe it was the scrolls of Isaiah. Maybe it was the scrolls of Isaiah referencing that Jesus had been oppressed and afflicted and was led like a sheep to the slaughter in Isaiah 53. Or maybe it was an Old Testament prophecy in the Psalms. We really don't know, but what we do know is that Paul used the scriptures to prove his case. And that's the same for us today. We must use the Bible to reason, to explain, and to prove the truth about the gospel. Not our opinions, not our emotions, not our feelings. We let God's word prove people wrong and bring them to conviction, or we let God's word prove them wrong and then walk away. Either way, we use the Bible to do that. Amen?
Amen.
What's interesting about this, though, is the fact that Paul would even have to do this. The Jews grew up reading this all of their lives, studying the scriptures and teaching their children the same thing. They should have been looking for Jesus and expecting the coming of the Messiah. But instead, they were looking forward to a king that would restore the power and influence that Israel once had. But that's not what God had planned. God's plans were so much bigger. It was salvation for the whole world.
Yes.
You know, Jesus said in John 4 to the Samaritan woman that salvation comes from the Jews. But because of their veiled and callous hearts, they didn't want to confront their sin. And God's plan, they didn't want to confront their sin and accept the gospel message, so they missed out on salvation in God's plan. They chose their own thinking and wisdom over the word of God, which is the way of the world. And we see clearly from this passage what happens when you choose the way of the world. You do worldly things. Jealousy, anger, violence, that's all characteristics of immoral, worldly people. You know, verse 5 says they rounded up bad characters. These were God's people who went and probably paid bad thugs to come and search for Paul and Silas. And if they would have found them, they probably would have killed them. They probably would have killed them. And I think the big picture for us to take away from this is that when we share our faith, when we study the Bible with people, everyone will not like what the Bible has to say. Everyone will not like what we're going to say from the scriptures. This is not our opinions. This is from the scriptures. And some people will not accept the fact that they are in sin. They won't accept the fact that their sin put Jesus on the cross. You know, There are going to be people who think that what they have known all their lives and learned from their parents, from their church, is the truth. And they won't be humble enough to sit down and open the scriptures and see if what they know and have been taught lines up with the word of God. Yeah. There may even be persecution from people on our campuses because our faith and our zeal makes them uncomfortable. Yeah. Preaching the word of God and teaching people about sin, which is contrary to the will of God, is going to stir people up. It's going to cause people to become upset, and we're going to turn the world upside down with the gospel. Amen? Amen. This is honestly my perception, my opinion, but I don't believe that there's no way that we can honestly, wholeheartedly follow God and not be at odds with the way of the world.
Come on.
You know, 2 Timothy 3 talks about, you know, that people will love themselves and their sin more than they want to know God. The love of money will defile many in their thinking and their choices. People will always learn. They will read the scriptures, but they will never come to the knowledge of the truth. And this is the way of the world. And this is who some of us were. This is who I was. This was me until I let the scriptures convict me. You know, I was going to church, and then on Monday, I was smoking and sleeping around and doing what I wanted to do. This was me until I let the scriptures convict me and show me my sin and the error of my ways. And if we aren't careful, we can easily be swayed into following the world's way once again. The world is always knocking on our doors. The world is always knocking on our doors and trying to get us to follow its ways again and enticing us. But we must be men and women who preach and hold to the gospel and to the word so that people on our campuses think that we are causing trouble and think that we are crazy. Imagine everyone on your campus hearing the gospel message. Verse 6 says that the whole world, these men have come here from over the world causing trouble. So that means the whole world heard the gospel. Imagine your whole campus hearing the gospel message. And when you're coming down the hallway, people are running away from you because they know that you're going to share their faith. That is exactly the picture of what we get here. The whole world had heard the gospel message. And it's the legacy that we are to carry out. You know, Paul went into the synagogues and preached the same message, whether or not people wanted to hear it, whether or not people were open to hearing it. And some people were persuaded, others weren't. But his standard did not change based off of people's responses. And neither should ours. And fact is, this is a narrow road. Jesus told us that this is a narrow road and only few will find it. And Paul understood that, and we have to understand that too. So let us continue to preach the word, reasoning, explaining, and proving that Jesus is the Messiah. And however people respond is up to them.
Right.
We're going to pray for them. We're going to love them. We're going to love up on people. But if they choose to turn away, that is between them and God. We've done our job by showing them the gospel message and loving them. Amen?
Amen.
So 2, the Berean way. So Paul and Silas arrive in Berea, and as soon as they arrive, they go and preach the word of God in another Jewish synagogue. And I love the fact that even after this intense and chaotic scene in Thessalonica, Paul heads straight into the synagogue and begins boldly preaching the same as before. The Bereans stand out as an amazing beacon in the chapter and in the book of Acts. They were noble, open-minded. They heard what Paul and Silas said, but they were excited about the message. But they didn't want to just take Paul and Silas's word for it. So they went back and they read the scriptures. They did their own study of the scriptures to validate Paul's message. They liked what they heard and they received it with great eagerness, but they wanted to make sure that it came from God. And since it did, they were ready to move out and do what God told them to do. You know, these are the kind of people that we are looking for when we share our faith on campus. These are the kind of people that we want, that God wants to respond humbly, and people who are going to examine the scriptures and surrender to what they say. It is truly a joy when we get people who are open-hearted seekers, people who are willing to learn and apply the scriptures to their lives. You know, if you're visiting and you're studying the Bible, I just want to encourage you for a second. Go back and study the scriptures after every study.
Yeah.
Make decisions based off convictions that are between you and God and the scriptures. And that's why when people are studying with you, they say, make sure this is your conviction. You don't want to follow the conviction of someone else, because I'm not going to be your Lord. Right. People are not going to be your, Jesus is Lord. Yeah. So if you're making someone else Lord and then they mess up, you're going to follow them. You want to make sure that your conviction is coming from the scriptures and not from people.
Right.
So go back and read the passages and make sure you believe what you are learning. Amen?
Amen?
And those of us who are disciples, this is the passage that truly gives us an understanding of what we should be about and the kind of people we ought to be ourselves. How do we respond to the lessons we hear? How do we respond in our D times and fellowship and our own quiet times with God? Do we respond with an open heart? And are we eager to repent where we need to repent? Or do we get defensive and say things like, I've heard this before? You know, it's interesting because sometimes I find myself when someone's correcting me or teaching me and they're showing me a scripture that I know, I start quoting it before them. And I'm like, dude, you really don't know the scripture if they're correcting you on something. Let them correct you. You know, and I think that's my pride. Like, I want to show that I know the scripture, but it's not knowledge, it's heart. And my heart is not really there if I'm getting corrected on something that I should know. Amen? You know, rejecting and disobeying what God is trying to teach us is flat out telling God, you don't need his wisdom, you don't need his correction, you don't need his advice, and in the end, that leads to spiritual decay. And we see that in the Jews at Thessalonica. We see that in the people that we study with that turns away or walks away from God. And look at it from this angle. God has been way too gracious, way too kind, way too loving for us to not go back and search our hearts and see if there's anything that we need to improve on.
Yeah.
God loves us so much. It is our duty. It should be our, we should want to go and correct ourselves and learn more and correct our hearts if there's something that God is showing us that we need to correct. We should be asking God, what are you trying to teach me? What is the Lord saying to me from this lesson? And then digging in the scriptures and finding out. This is a continual spiritual discipline we should be practicing. And it is going to build our convictions and our faith. Romans 10:17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Our faith, it will be deepened and strengthened every single time we go back up and apply and examine the scriptures to our lives.
Right.
You know, this past weekend, most of us attended a retreat where God moved so powerfully through all of it. He used Phil powerfully to talk about God's commitment to us. And then we had split men and women lessons led by James Warren and Suri Murdoch for the women. And then all of the great breakout classes led by the campus ministers. God really poured himself out into us this past weekend. And then Sam Powell led a powerful leadership class and as well as the last closing class entitled Getting Our Acts Together. He talked about our first century brothers being committed to the gospel message because they were convinced, convicted, and converted. So for the next 5 to 7 minutes, we're going to split up and we're going to get into split Bible talk groups, men and women. And we're going to talk about the retreat. And we're not just going to half-heartedly talk about the retreat. We're going to talk about things that God really showed us from the retreat. God pricked in our hearts that we need to improve on. Things that we were convicted about. Things that we were moved about. And you know when you're convicted because you sit there and you're like, you know that feeling. The spirit is really moving in your hearts. So I really, this time, let's spend this next 5 to 7 minutes and talk about convictions that we really take away from this retreat that we want to see God work on and improve on in our lives through the scriptures. So we're going to do that. And then from each split D group, one person is going to get up and they're going to share, you know, what they got from the retreat. So each group, one person, one representative will get up and share what they got from the group. And then from that, we'll recap and we'll close out in prayer. Amen?
Amen.
So you're saying each Bible talk and then the men and women split in the Bible talk, right?
Right. So your Bible talk, which is family group, which is now Bible talk. So men and women from Rutgers, William Patterson, Bergen, like you're going to get with people from your school, your Bible talk. And what you're going to split, men, women, and women.
Gotcha.
And that's how we're going to do it.
Awesome.
So we're going to split for 5 to 7 minutes. Cool? Let's do that.